Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Happy Mother's Day. This is the Michael Van Tol Show, Detroit's Sunday morning news and information podcast, produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty, and the warrior lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. The Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, home care advocate, our political analyst. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and mother figures out there. And good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning to Detroit.
Yes, and we're definitely going to talk about the great mothers out there. That's the first thing up. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor and author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Anyone that is called mother, anyone who feels in the role as mother, whether you are a mentor, auntie, cousin, whatever it is, if you feel the role of mother, thank you. We applaud you today. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to Missionary Hattie Humphrey. I hope you're having a wonderful Mother's Day this Sunday. And good morning, Detroit.
Yes, what a beautiful day this is, and I can feel it in the air, the excitement. It's a day, also a day of remembrance for a lot of moms who are not around, and this is one of those days when I've been told that people, they actually kind of hear the voices of their mothers and grandmothers on days like this. You know, when you're when the family's over, when you're cooking and things like that, you remember the sounds, you remember their voices, and you remember what they were doing, what they would do on a day like this. So for some, it is a day of, it's a memorial kind of a day to remember. And most of the time we know the mothers were the backbone, honestly, of the family. And nothing, you had to run it by her first, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And one thing I do miss is that the previous generations of mothers, I don't know about now, we have some issues now, but the previous generation of mothers would talk to their daughters. They used to have conversations about boyfriends, about husbands, you know, about dating, about money, how to dress. You know, you went through not just a school training at school. You went through training from the mothers, grandmothers, the women in the family. I think that's kind of lost now. But I'm going to go to see my mom this morning. We're having brunch with her, and I'm looking forward to that. And then come back and kind of chill and relax. I think maybe some games on this afternoon. But I'm looking forward to spending some time with my mom today, and happy Mother's Day to you guys. Happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Van Tol, both Mrs. Van Tols, my mom and my wife, and I'm just so excited for days like this and all those mothers around. I do want to mention, if everyone can put this on their schedules, Wayne County Commissioner Monique Baker McCormick is having a health fair on Thursday, June 8th. And we've got about seven major health organizations that are going to be participating, like Health Choice, Wayne County Veterans Division, Wayne County Dental Division, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Michigan, and many more I think the sheriff's office is going to be there. Citizens Bank is going to be there. So we're looking forward to this. It's going to be at the Redford Library, Thursday, June 8th, at 5:30 p.m. So it's right after work, 5:30 p.m. For a health fair. So there's going to be some screening and information that you can receive. All right. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we've got the latest in news and information for you on this Mother's Day 2023. We'll be right back after this message.
It's a member of the Realty.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth.
Yeah.
It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial
health.
You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight.
All right, we're back.
I promise you that
Michael Van Tool, happy Mother's Day to you. In the news this morning, you know, normally we don't, you know, try to do like the major news programs with a lot of bad news. But I did want to make note of a couple of things that happened this weekend. The community is angry, shocked, and filled with sadness over the deaths of two women I wanted to mention. The Oakland County Health Officer, Dr. Calandra Green, was killed in a murder-suicide at her Pontiac home Friday night. She was a mother, member of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in Pontiac, and the first African-American female to hold the top position for the Oakland County Health Department. Dr. Green, a pillar of the Pontiac community, was shot and killed by her husband, Charles Green. He was 50. She was 50. He was 52. They were married in September of 2020. And I also wanted to mention about Patrice Wilson, a nurse. She was kidnapped outside a Detroit hospital, last seen on Saturday, but her body was found in an apartment complex in Novi. The police do have a suspect. They're looking for Jameer Miller, 36 years old. He's considered armed and dangerous. Another violent weekend in this city. This region, Metro Detroit, actually Metro Detroit, because these crimes did not occur in the city of Detroit. This was in Pontiac and Novi, but it's everywhere. The crime is not centered in one place like people always thought. It's this country. It's the country. I was watching, I was one of the few people that watched the Donald Trump town hall on CNN the other night. It was.
You sure were, Michael.
I was going to say the same thing, Kim, but I give that man no media tickets for me.
It was disgusting.
At all.
It was disgusting. He lied the moment he opened his mouth all the way through. I think I had enough after about an hour. I couldn't deal with the last 30 minutes, but Caitlin Collins, the host, she tried to confront the lies, and she had to constantly interrupt him and tell him that that's a lie. This is not the truth. That's not what happened. And it's the same old Donald Trump, same old, full of lies, falsehoods. He was angry, vindictive, and, you know, they interviewed a panel afterwards, this panel. And, you know, of course, it was all Republicans in the audience. It was a Republican audience. CNN said that they did it because, of course, Donald Trump is the front runner on the Republican side right now, but it was hard to watch. It was just sickening.
I can imagine.
They interviewed a panel to get their opinions afterwards, and that panel, oh my God, they might as well had blinders on like the horses do. Where, you know, they might as well would have just covered their ears and eyes, because it's like, did you just see what I saw? And, you know, some of them said they were tired about all the election lies and all that stuff. Others tried to explain it away and say that he was committed to his beliefs and that's his opinion and that he was passionate. No, he's lying. Some of the panelists said they don't know what to believe, but what the overall thing that I got from that little panel was about eight people they pulled from the audience was that they had like, what's that, selective amnesia, when you, some things you see, some things you don't, some things you hear, some things you don't. You know, Donald Trump was making fun of Gene Carroll, the one who he just had to pay $5 million. He made fun of her all night.
Wow.
And guess what? Which is, I'm glad she is. She's thinking about suing him again for defamation of character.
Good.
And they asked the panel, what do you feel about that? One lady said, I'm uncomfortable about that. I'm uncomfortable. You should be angry. And it should be more emotion than that. One lady said she didn't really care. I don't know enough about the case, but that's not the question. The question was he already been to trial. He lost. He had to pay $5 million. So the question was, what do you think about him making fun of her now? And to say that they didn't really care or don't know enough about it, they just want to distance themselves and ignore what he said. It was horrible. What's going on in San Francisco? San Francisco has taken a turn for the worse. Some are blaming. Now, I do think that this could be a problem. Some far left, too far left liberal policies. You can't, some stuff, you still got to have law and order. Okay, but San Francisco's crime rate has just skyrocketed under some liberal policies by the city government, and I think that you know, don't give the Republicans or the right, don't give them this opportunity. You can still have a city, and you can still run a city with law and order, but the crime rate has gone up exponentially. The homeless are just set up shop in San Francisco and some of those western cities. There's no policy on homeless and how to handle the homeless in this country. There should be. I think we covered it on a show sometime last year, and the consensus was that it needs to be. This is one of those things that needs to be at a crisis level. We're not talking about the right type of crisis in this country. The crisis is homelessness, okay? And the crisis is these shootings, not just mass shootings, but shootings, murders. These things should be at another level, and there should be state panels in Washington trying to come up with a solution to the homeless problem in this country. We may not have to face a lot of it here because it freezes over during the wintertime here, and the homeless can't, mm-hmm. they won't survive. But there are a lot of other cities, like warmer cities like Miami and L.A. and San Francisco, that have huge homeless problems. And then finally, mm-hmm. Just the same thing happened in Detroit. Major retailers are leaving downtown San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read a short list, and there's more. Amazon, Walgreens, H&M, Gap, Saks Off Fifth, the discounted Saks Fifth Avenue store, Abercrombie and Fitch, Nordstrom Rack, the discount version of Nordstrom. All of these and more mm-hmm. have left San Francisco. And they said that it's because of all those problems that I just outlined and more. Let me go down the list and see what you guys have, what's on your mind before we go to weather. Henrietta, what you got this morning?
You know what, Michael, I'm just going to take you back off things you said. Let's start with the Trump, interview or panel discussion, whatever person want to call it.
The Trump circus.
I personally don't get the Trump circus. I like that even better. I don't give a lot of attention to Donald Trump because of the fact of, you know, to give him attention just ignites his boldness and his belief that he's still the president and he's going to be president again.
He likes that.
You just don't give attention to. He likes that. And the more media attention he
gets,
publicity, the more,
no matter if it's good or bad, he feeds on that stuff.
Mm-hmm. He feeds off of it. It gives him publicity. It shoots his number up. I'm disturbed of the women because, let's be clear, his numbers are probably up, and I'm a researcher, of course. It's probably due to
they
a lot
are.
Of women. I'm not understanding mm-hmm. why these women are so mesmerized by a
yes,
man who rapes, a man
him.
Who talks about raping, a man who
yes.
has boldness about what you think of a woman's body and how freely he can just take advantage of a woman's body. And these women love it. I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. The Caucasian women love him. They are, and some of our Hispanic women, they love this man. And I got to question their mentality. Like, were you raised in an environment where you thought it was okay for somebody to touch you, or was you taught that your body only belongs to a man? And I'm throwing that out because I'm trying to figure out the logic in these women who are ignoring the fact that he molested a woman. He went to
right.
trial about it. He
but
lost
if it was anybody else,
that he did.
If it was anybody
if
else,
was anybody
did,
else
they, would be, they would be upset about it. They would want that person
Absolutely.
In jail. They wouldn't want that person
be
to
clear.
Be able to run for office, all that. The evangelicals,
yes.
I can't understand why they
yes.
have not called Donald Trump out for all of the stuff that he's done. And the evangelicals
mm-hmm.
have
this man must be a
Donald Trump all these years.
He has something. He has something on his people here. So that right there, as you said, Michael, had it been anybody else, I'm going to go back to again. If it hadn't been Obama, he would have been crucified. If it had, even right now, if anything came out about Biden doing such things, he would be crucified. Anybody else, mm-hmm. president prior, who have done anything like that, even down to Bush, and Bush was a Republican, he would have been crucified. I'm not getting why these folks are so, why they're protecting this man. So moving forward, I really hope that who are all the other runners that's running against Donald Trump.
I know.
I don't
we're
know
okay.
the other two that I do. Everything is quiet. Politics is really quiet right now. I was having this conversation, me and you, Michael, about how quiet it is out here. It's not a lot of movement. That's something to be concerned with because if people don't know what's coming, they're going to get what's coming. And that's just how that's going to happen in that world. Unfortunately, we move forward to the two women that were murdered by their significant others. This is getting to become a trend, and there needs to be a national conversation around these spouse suicides. This is becoming very normal now that these men are getting angry with these women, and they are meeting them at their job. They're going to their home. They're killing them in the home. This is an alarm for me. Like, you know, as a single woman, I'm just like, you know what? Maybe being single was the best thing. Maybe it's saving my life because I for one, you know, I will fight for mine. You come up on me talking crazy, both of us going to die. Because I just want to say, I'm not going to allow a man to put me in that kind of fear. But unfortunately, these women love these men and thought these men were protecting them. And this is what how they end up. So we need to have a national conversation around spousal abuse. We need to, like you said, Michael, we need to start focusing in on real topics and real issues that are going on in this country and around our cities and states. Because it seems like all this violence against women and violence and politics is becoming normal. And that's not a good sign. So I just wanted to kind of give my comment on those two issues.
I noticed that too, Henrietta. It's a lot of that type of jealous rage. Remember at the Southfield Hotel the other day, a guy followed his girlfriend.
Followed his girlfriend, the mother of his six children.
Yes, and as she walked out with the new boyfriend, he shot them both.
Shot her dead.
Killed her.
And he ended up getting killed down the street from me.
Yes, and he
that was right
up,
down the street from me on 7 Mile.
Yes, there's a lot of that on, and it's like, you know, Monday morning, we'll be back up and like nothing happened. Breaking. You're right, breaking up with somebody now, but I don't know about. You sometimes it's like you have to start now, I guess, looking at signs when you're first meeting the person and dating them and seeing how know who you're dealing with. Try to get as much information as possible. You know, there's some people that, you know, guys kind of do this a lot too. They meet somebody and next thing you know, they're in a relationship, they're sleeping with them and all that kind of stuff. But it's like now you got to do a little bit more. You got to do some research now and find out who this person is, what type of job they have, before you start dating them. You got to know who they are.
You better start dating their exes. I mean, I get to the point where you know, try to talk to some ex-girlfriends to find out why they really broke up, because you'll be surprised that the history of their past relationships can be the key to you walking away. Because the women, I mean, if like you said, Michael, the first sign you see, I'm a good discerner of people's personalities. I'm not saying I'm that magical person, but it's something about the person, and I start feeling shaky about. I'm like, this is all we're gonna have is dinner. We will not move forward because I get this feeling that this person is just something. You know, we all have this built-in instinct for
intuition.
And when that antenna go up, intuition. When that antenna goes up. I'm like, especially the conversation. I always listen to the conversation. You talking crazy now, I can only imagine what you're going to act like if I decide to move forward. So, therefore, there will be no second dinner.
I know. And I know people believe in that love at first sight type of thing, and it might be love, but don't go too fast. Don't just, you know, get all caught up. Because don't you know he likes the fact that you're all caught up, and they take that and manipulate and take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think you all in love and all that stuff, then you start to bypass your rules. You know, you start to ignore the signs and all that. And you know how that famous line is, you know, I don't normally do this, but, you know, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't just run the stop sign that even though things might seem to be good, like don't call them for a few days. You know, I know you just met them during the weekend, and I'm telling, you know, I'm just saying because I'm a guy, and I'm just telling you that, you know, people get caught up, and the women have to – start like slowing down a little bit, and if you just met him on Saturday, then you know maybe don't call him for a couple days. Just get some breathe a little bit, and watch what's going on and listen. Remember what he said, all that kind of stuff, because it could be a matter of life and death sometimes. And then let your girlfriend know. Let somebody know.
Let somebody know where
you're going, who you're going with. Give her, you know, have her call you sometimes during the night. I'm just saying, you know. I know you guys. already do all that.
No, but you're
did,
right.
Or do that
but
kind
here's
of
another
stuff.
Here's another issue, Michael. Here's another issue. I think a lot of times is too why a lot of women end up in relationships that they don't really carefully before they actually make that final decision to be with the person. I came from a day where you dated and you courted and it took a minute. You know what I'm saying? I'm still used to the old-fashioned way. And for women like myself, Kim, and who we're particular women, we, you know, you have that research kind of personality. Like when you're, and Kim been married, so she can probably attest to when she met her husband, how they probably just kind of let it flow. Because when you have a good marriage such as one like Kim and one like yours, Michael, it's those days of dating are literally gone. They're just people don't believe in courting anymore. They don't believe in sitting down with the family and letting daddy
and
have a conversation with this man who's courting his daughter.
Yep.
And
now we got internet
and
social media
public.
Dating where you sometimes you don't
and
even
they, a lot
that
of them
picture. Have look, that picture that they have online is they don't even look like that. Anymore.
They don't look like that. And then you have to be careful because I think a lot of women, and I think this is maybe one of the primary causes, you have women who are career women now, they've done all they need to do, so now they want to fall in love and have children, and they're not taking their time. And then a lot of times age come in, I'm 35, I'm 38, and I want to get married and have children and this, that, and the third. And so they meet the guy he sees, and the guys have conversations with people, a woman got one on as well. And some of these guys say, okay, she's a medical doctor, or she's a director, or she's a this, or she's a that. And they cater to that. And they're going to make this woman feel real comfortable. But they are the most diabolical, evil persons that you ever want to meet. Or they just may not be very stable, and they figure, I'm going to get her, and she ain't, and that's going to be mine. And they get possessive. And a lot of women, when you have a woman that's professional like that, or women who have a desire to be somebody, love is important. You don't want to miss that opportunity. And they get into it thinking, and these men play on that, and they play very well.
Yep.
And sometimes I think even with that aspect, we have to be careful as professional women and as women, period, talking about, well, I'm getting older, or women of my age, pushing 60, well, I got to get me a man because, girl, I'm old. Look, that don't even faze me. I'm like Tina Turner. I'll get married at 67. It don't matter to me if I never do it again. I did it twice already.
Right,
but
and
I've
the men now, more
intuition.
Likely, they're going to rely on you. They would probably want
to
move in with you. If when a woman
mama.
Owns her own place, has her own car, has a job, the men now are looking for women like that. And so it's not that you're going
to
find a knight in shining armor. They're looking for the same thing in a woman. And, you know, the men have to stop looking at women like possessions. And so this, you sometimes I don't think we don't, you don't know until you break up, until you threaten
That's
to
it.
Leave.
Yep.
Then you see the real them come out. Now, they might be all nice and perfect all the other time, but just say that you don't want this relationship anymore. Then the real... Then the real guy comes out.
It shows up.
Real angry, possessive. You know, the old line, you know, if I can't have you, nobody will. You know,
those
are
dangerous. And they're using that lately.
Yes, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, even if you know the person and you've been dating or married for, you know, 10, 20 years or whatever, there's still that unpredictable thing where you say that you want to break up or leave, that's when sometimes that is when the trouble begins right there. It was never there before. He was the nicest guy, never hit, never called you out your name, never did anything bad, but he just loses his mind to think that you're going to go and give it all to some other guy when he thought it was all his. That's where the problem is. Men have to stop thinking like that. With all these women out here in the world, why is it that men feel so, what's the word, like you think they
entitled.
Are so entitled to that one woman, like they own you?
Can I answer that question, Michael?
Yeah,
can I answer
please.
That? I was like, Bishop Kathy had my hand up. So I wanted to go back because exactly what you just said, Henrietta, I wholeheartedly agree with. So let's start with Donald Trump. Yes, he is a former president, But when has he not lied? This is the problem. Remember, as children, you were taught, we don't lie. Remember? That's a biblical principle. You don't lie. But yet, everything that comes out of his mouth, from his bankruptcies to his scamming different businesses, saying they had a profit, they didn't have a profit, saying that he didn't want to have black residents in his on his property.
Saying the vote was stolen from him.
Exactly. This is all just ramping it up. He is literally a child who wants attention. And if this country was really trying to be responsible and do what it should do, we would put him in a corner and not give him any attention, because then that would hurt him. We have a country that is in just chaos right now. We have a mass shooting every other day. And I read about Patrice, I'm sorry, I don't remember her last name, the lady that was kidnapped yesterday from the DMC parking lot. She's a nurse. She's getting off from work, and her ex-boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend pushed her into a car. And you both were right. We are at a crisis state in that. But what, you know what that also tells me? It also tells me that there is a mental health crisis in this country, which leads to homelessness, which leads to violence. Yeah. We're not talking about it. When we talk about homelessness, and you guys know this because we all work in community as community advocates, when there are big events and we have food left over, what do? With it? We throw it away.
Give it to the home.
We throw it away. You are in a country where literally resources are tossed while there are people that are laying out on the street. In the city of Detroit, we are larger than the city of Boston. We have space where people, you know, this whole tiny home movement that is in vogue right now, that everybody's like, oh, we got to be good for the economy or the environment. Why not build a tiny home for every homeless person? I'm not saying that that's the solution, that it will work, that every homeless person will go in there. But people who truly need a place, who can't afford it, this could be a solution for them. We don't want to have that conversation. Remember, where was it? When we had the first protest in Charlottesville, I believe it was, and the driver, when they were protesting against Trump and the KKK and some other things, and the driver piled into the crowd and killed the white lady. And what did President Trump say?
Yes.
He said there were good people on both sides.
Good people.
We are straying the line of what is good and what is bad. And, Michael, I know you run from biblical scripture every Sunday, but the Bible talks about that at a certain point people will become lovers of themselves, mother against daughter, father against son, brother against brother. I'm paraphrasing. We are here at that point. So what's good is now bad. What's bad is now good. We don't have the principles that we claim. We're sitting here debating about a debt ceiling in America, but we want to cut food programs for the neediest family. Again, we are the richest country in the world. You go to any emergency room in this country, people are still struggling with COVID. Now we're struggling with every other thing that's running around. We still don't have the best medical care, but we don't want to talk about it. Oh, goodness, let us not utter the socialized medicine. But when you go to Canada, when you go to Europe, when you go other places, they can go and get the treatment that they need. They may have to wait a minute for some of it, but they get it immediately. But we don't want to have that conversation. Every time politicians say this, and Henrietta, you know this, when Marco Rubio was running for president, I don't know if it was the last time or the administration before, he was talking about how his parents were hardworking people. I looked up his area. His family home was like $500,000 or $1 million. That's not working class. You were clearly upper middle class.
High middle class.
Almost wealthy. Right. You're not working class. Working class are your front line workers, your essential workers, your nurses, your retail people, your restaurant people,
bus drivers.
That drive for Uber and Lyft. Your bus drivers, your police and fire. Those are working class people. Those are the backbone of society. And as we've seen with COVID, we were ignoring them. Not that we didn't know it, but we do. The other frontline workers, our teachers, and again, I'm about to bring all of this home. Mental health at the heart of it. If your mind is not together, and I hear and I have friends that are teachers, and all the teachers are saying the same thing. These kids are off the chart. No attention span, just fighting, everybody's aggressive. Michael, you and I have talked about it. Henrietta, you and I have talked about it, about being on the road driving. Everybody's aggressive. People are turning from two lanes over. And it's like,
I cannot believe it sometimes.
You're like, did you go to driver's training?
And how angry you get over some of the littlest things. You know,
and what are we doing now? Now people are having road rage incidents where they're shooting people because somebody cut somebody off, or somebody didn't let somebody merge in, or whatever it was. Same thing. It all points to there is something broken in this country. It is not, as the evangelicals will say, well, we took out God. I said, no, y'all took out God because y'all are corrupting scripture. Because scripture says you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me with you, meaning Jesus. So if you're not taking care of the poor, you're not taking care of children, and you're not taking care of orphans, you can't say anything because you don't have a leg to stand on, because that's the foundation of scripture. But I say say, we answer every problem with, oh, well, we just need to have more guns. Has that helped us? No.
No. We got more guns in this country
more violence
than anywhere.
Than ever.
And look how bad it is already. And now some people say we should have more? Come on now.
Right. And then lastly, to your point, Michael, you asked, why do some men feel like that? We are also at a cultural problem in our country between men and women. Women have been fighting for the right to be equal in pay, in the way that we're viewed, how work is managed. You know, we still have the same conversation. If you're a stay-at-home wife, this is technically what you would be paid versus a working mother. Why are we even having that conversation? If you were able to birth a child, because as African-American women know we are at the bottom of the pool when it comes to mortality in childbirth. Because, if no one believes me, go Google Serena Williams' birth story. She almost died giving birth because doctors and nurses did not, doctors and nurses didn't listen to her. This is one of the most recognizable women in the world. She is a billionaire. She
did not know that.
Her story, Serena, when she talked about that during her, she had a documentary. And I've urged every black woman and man to see her documentary. It is heartbreaking that she almost died giving birth. And she's, like you said, she's the most recognized woman in the world. And they still treat her like she was nothing.
Exactly. And there was a study that was recently released that said, even women who have income, influence, and power, if you are African-American and go in the hospital, you are still treated as if, Henrietta said, as if you are nothing. You have no voice. But I say that to say because Donald Trump said something that I think is pivotal. And when he said it in the campaign trial and then during the E. Jean Carroll and then also on the campaign trail when he was running and then Entertainment Tonight, they actually had the clip. When he said you can grab women by the bleep bleep and they'll just let you do it, that should have told everybody who he was. If you are a woman and you will allow your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, your cousin, your female neighbor, whomever it is, to just be violated by some man, that is terrible. And then turn around and tell me that was God's will and now you have to have a child. And then now this man can have parental rights because he's the father? Okay, we have lost our way. Men are threatening this country. Some men are. And, you know, when we talk about mass shootings and violence, we normally see white males. And there is a confluence of factors between President Trump's criticisms and things that he was saying, with these mass shootings, the violence that we see, it is just increasing day by day. And so you have a lot of men who are angry at women because now women have choices. Women can be choosy and say, you know what, you don't make enough money, you're not ambitious enough, or you're not trying to go where I'm trying to go, so I'm going to go. Henrietta said, sometimes we overlook our intuition. We'll date a guy for a minute and go, no, he's not the one for me. Or you find out he has a whole nother family, or he's got three exes with a trail load of kids, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not trying to be the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, whatever it is. And you decide to leave, and like you said, he's like, oh, no, not without me, you're not. And men are angry. But again, the heart of it is mental. If there is something spiritual lacking within you, your mental capacity, capabilities, whatever it is, are compromised, and you need therapy. Therapy is a wonderful thing. Jesus invented therapists. So if you don't believe it, he did. You can go talk to somebody. They have Christian therapists. They have therapists of all kinds. You can go and specify. Go find somebody that you like. Talk about what bothers you. Have conversations. Because there's too many angry people running around in society that are causing havoc.
Yes,
and those of us that are just trying to enjoy our life and enjoy our family, because we know that life is short, we can't enjoy it because we're living in fear, trying not to live in fear, because we're not supposed to, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But we are struggling because every time we go someplace, we don't know what's going to happen.
That is so true.
To the grocery store or to the park, or to the movie theater, or to a concert, or to downtown. Downtown in Detroit, we're getting ready to have a Grand Prix race. I am nervous. Why? Because they want to have a million-plus people down. I'm like, ooh, I sure hope Detroit can behave. Not saying
well,
that Detroit is a good city.
It's going to be a heavy police presence. I'm hoping to go to the Grand Prix, too. But I believe that there's going to be a very, very heavy police presence downtown during the, well, any of the major events this summer, starting with the Grand Prix, because I don't think they're going to want anything to go wrong. And the curfews are going to be in effect. And I think the Detroit Police Department is going to redeploy. Unfortunately, redeploy from the communities, from the precincts, and send them downtown to make sure you know that it's
every
safe.
Every agency has been called in. Every agency, from Homeland Security to ATF to International Border, Wayne County Sheriff, Detroit Police, just everybody is there, and they have
matter
a,
of fact. Matter of fact, we got the sheriff. The sheriff is coming on next Sunday, so we will definitely ask him about that next Sunday.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that all the team is here, so if they've got comments or questions for the sheriff, we'll do that. Let me mention a couple things here real quickly. Of course, Franklin Wright Settlements, a leading Detroit neighborhood human services organization, existing to assist individuals, families, groups, and the community with basic life, family, and social needs. I did get a chance to talk to the Honorable Teola Hunter, a board member of Franklin Wright, and share my condolences on the loss of her daughter. And there's they had a memorial service out of town. They're going to have another one here in town soon, too. So our, you know, and I decided to do that because, you know, before all this social media, you know, we used to pick up the phone and call people when something happened. And I haven't been doing that lately. And I said, you know, this time, let me call Teola Hunter and share my condolences with her. So we had a nice, great conversation about her daughter, about the family and things that are, and how they're handling it. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Michigan, I am, you know, over a year ago, I joined as a volunteer, an ambassador for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society to highlight the high instances of cancer in the African American community, specifically with myeloma. And then about a year later, they asked me to be a visionary candidate to help raise funds for LLS. And we're in the middle of that campaign now. Thanks, Henrietta, is well part of the support team. We're going to plan, we're actually planning an event at TULC coming up. Matter of fact, I have a planning meeting this afternoon because we're going to have a little get together at TULC coming up soon too. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we got another event coming up in Ferndale. I tell you one thing, LLS does make sure and support the teams. And when we go, they do feed us well and take care of us. So I'm looking forward to, you know, somebody knows what they're doing at LLS. They make sure and keep their volunteers happy. And, you know, so hopefully I've got some pledges out there and the money is coming in. And but I want a big chunk of money. I need like 25, 50,000. That's what I'm looking for. So I've been making
some calls. That's what you're doing.
And if someone is listening now and you would like to donate, yes, we'll take the $100. We'll take the $50 because that's how I started off. I mean, my first donation was $50, you know, and then we'll take $100. But if you can afford to write a check for $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, please call me. Here's the number. Call me at 248-516-8300, 248-516-8300. The money will go to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Mission. The checks are payable to LLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and we will make sure that we get you on record. And I thank you now, but if you're listening and you or your company, your family would like to, maybe the family would like to just everybody write a check for $100. We can do that. But I really want to make I don't want to work hard to, you know, Henrietta, to make this, to hit my goals and stuff. I want to be able to pick up the phone, call 2, 3, 4 people that can write me a check for $25,000 or $50,000, and blow this campaign out the water and win it. That's what I want to do.
Absolutely.
But you're right, Henrietta. I just have to claim it and put it out there and act like it's going to happen.
Right.
Because that's how
it happens. Yep.
That's right. Look, that's how I've gotten stuff done in life. I have faith. I don't look at stuff and decide whether I'm going to do something. And y'all see, y'all here got me starting to preach this thing.
But the only way
that I've done stuff in my life is that I took a step of faith and picked up the phone called somebody or asked somebody something in order to get started. I don't look at what I see. I don't pay no attention to exactly what I see. It's there. But if I had to look at what I see in order to move forward, I'll be scared. I would never get anything done. You cannot because once you take a step, all God is only watching to see if you really want something or not. And once you take a step forward, he starts putting things in motion and he helps
in
you
place.
Out.
He just
don't want to waste his time with you. That's what the deal is. He just wants to see if you really want this. And you know what?
Yep.
Sometimes, like, let's say if you want to, run for office. You want to run for office, and this is the truth. This has happened. You run for office and thinking, oh, man, I'm not winning. The polls are not looking good. You wake up the next day, your opponent won, and you think you lost. But then a couple weeks later, somebody calls you from the state of Michigan to say, Kimberly, the governor wants to appoint you to this board.
Exactly.
That's
that,
right.
Mm-hmm. That's how God, because you
that
you
is
think
the Supreme
lost,
Court Justice Kyra Harris Bowness story.
Just raised you up. He just raised your profile. Now everybody knows who you are, and now now you are appointed to a position. I'm headed over to greater grace. Y'all got me.
No, but Michael, what? You are correct. Yeah. You are correct because that is Supreme Court Justice Kyra Harris Bowden's story. I am proud because she is the University of Detroit Mercy School of Law alum.
Yep.
And she was just at the law school, and she was talking about that. And she was telling our law school students specifically, she said, you know, I've worked in public office. This is what I did. Yeah, I got my law degree. And she was talking about non-traditional routes to different things. And then she was talking about the court. And she talked about that journey. And she was like, that wasn't really what she thought. But she said people kept calling her saying, you should run, you should run. And she finally had to think about it and had to pray about it, and she was like, okay, I will do it. And when she didn't make it, she was disappointed, but she was just like, okay, God has another plan for me. And the next thing you know, she was appointed. And so she was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And she said to watch God work in her life is an amazing thing. And she just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to raise being pregnant, very pregnant. Like, she hadn't delivered. I think she was 7 or 8 months by the time the election happened. She said running a campaign, all the things that go into that, you're always on. Everybody needs you for something. And then she was talking about her current schedule. I was like, ooh, girl, I'm tired just listening to you. Just all the places that she has to be and the expectations and things that she has to do. But then she also talked about the integrity of the office. And, you know, we were talking about Trump. He has no integrity, none at all. Mm-hmm. But there are people, and I want to dip real quick to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Why are we allowing this?
Oh, no. Oh, that's another hour right there. Let me, I'm not even going to make a comment.
Hour.
I do not like what's happening.
I've disconnected from the news because every time I get up in the morning, it's like, you know what? This is too much on my mind.
He's only been getting money and gifts and trips from far right wing business people, specifically one, millions of dollars worth over the years.
Yes.
And of course, the wife herself has been crossing the line in her efforts to push things. It's the both of them need to be removed.
Yes.
Both of them.
Yes. But I would say we have people that have integrity and they show you have integrity. Those are the people that you should pay attention to, not the ones that are acting a fool.
I know we got about 7 minutes left. Kimberly, what's the weather like today and this week?
So we have a good weather report right now. It is 57 degrees. It's cloudy. It looks like it's going to rain, but today we're supposed to be dry. So today, mostly cloudy with a high of 70 and a low of 42. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 72 degrees and a low of 48.
Woo-hoo!
On Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high of 75 and a low of 44. Ooh. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 66 and a low of 46. On Thursday, partly cloudy skies will return with a high of 70 and a low of 52. On Friday, we'll have scattered thunderstorms with a high of 73 and a low of 47. And on Saturday, partly sunny skies return with a high of 68 degrees and a low of 48. And that's the weather.
I love it. I'm loving it. I don't care, even if it's raining and thunderstorms. It's going to be warm.
Yes.
And that's
thank
okay.
You.
I'm still
and
outside when it's raining
right
and it's warm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I still go outside when it's warm and rainy.
When it's raining.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm just ignoring it. I mean, I'm enjoying it. But wow. look at that. What a great hour of conversation. And Henrietta, you and I talked during the week and had some other topics. We didn't get a chance to, you know, but we'll tackle them another time. Kimberly, mm-hmm. we wanted to start to talk about this whitewashing of history with African Americans.
Oh, yeah, that's a conversation,
new
too.
Initiatives mm-hmm. out now that are trying, and it's very unfair to not mm-hmm. want to hear, listen, or be taught African American history as though we don't have an
right.
history and as though we never struggled mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. There is so mm-hmm. much. Henrietta, I printed the stuff out. I mean, there's mm-hmm. so much how we are under fire now. They're trying
mm-hmm.
to ignore our history and remove it from the history books, from being taught in classes. I know what
yep.
I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to do this so that we won't feel like we know that somebody owes us and that we were not wrong, so that we won't be angry. That's
mm-hmm.
so we won't yep. blame somebody for the things that are going
yep.
on.
And
that's
also
what
by
people
are trying to keep it from the children of the future. That I you know,
yes.
that's the question
yes.
you and I both said.
Yeah.
It's a big thing with our black children moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
They want to erase that part of our history to keep our children who's going to be the counterpart of their children.
Right.
And
right.
you know, and then people like our parents and even us who demand reparations, and because of the atrocities that were done to black Americans, it's one of the largest
mm-hmm.
atrocities next to the Holocaust. But see, the Holocaust was given their reparations in many ways. They
mm-hmm.
were able to get rectified. We have never been rectified, and it's going to cost this country, and they know that. So what are they doing? They're trying to dig out the core. Well, let's take it out of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop the reading. Let's stop the trapping of the information. Because if our children are a history of us, and then we are the history of our ancestors, and therefore, so if they can remove it, then they don't have to owe us. And that's something people
mm-hmm.
got to be aware of. And then to remove it as if we never existed, to say that we never
yep.
went through anything, to say that slavery never existed, that we were immigrants. We were never immigrants in the country.
Right.
So
and,
it is a lot they're trying to, like I say, whitewash and hide, because they know they were wrong. They don't want their children are becoming more in tune to, like, you did that,
you know,
grandma,
what?
Or you did
I
that
think,
uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think we're going to, maybe we can tackle that around Juneteenth. So sometime in
yes.
June, yes, it'll be right
yes.
in time for June.
Yes.
So because, like I said, I've got about three pages of those type of topics where
mm-hmm.
there are different initiatives, different thoughts about how to erase the bad things from our history so that nobody would know
mm-hmm.
what we had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to tackle that. But again, happy Mother's
yeah.
Day. I'm making a couple stops and then heading over to see my mom. We're going to have brunch this morning. So I hope you guys have a happy Mother's Day, and to the whole Sunday morning
Thank
team,
you.
I'll put something in the our group text pretty soon. But God bless you. Have a safe day today and enjoy the day with your families. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mother. Have a happy Mother's Day, Kim. Happy Mother's Day again to everyone in Detroit, all the mothers and mother figures in Detroit.
You've been listening to the Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Hold your head up high, look up to